Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and this is one of our series of pre-system interviews preparing our students for System 2009. It's also a good way for people who are thinking about coming to the seminar, and even for people that can't come to the seminar, to take advantage of the wisdom and the experience and the knowledge that our faculty have. Today we're going to be talking with James Martell. Welcome, James.
Thank you, Ken. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I want to tell people how I met James and how we've come to work together. James came to one of our seminars, I'm going to guess about 2007?
Yeah, 2007 would have been my first visit to the system seminar, definitely.
Yeah, you know, and as people know, there's a lot of experts in the internet marketing world, and, you know, we all don't get to meet all each other all on the first day we enter the business. You know, sometimes it just takes time to people, especially when James and I live on opposite sides of the North American continent. He's up in Vancouver, I'm on the East Coast. So it was a great opportunity finally for me to meet James. And a lot of my students would come up to me and say, "Oh, you really should talk with James. You really should. He's really got some really good stuff." So I was out in Vancouver doing the system intensive and got the chance to spend some real time over a very interesting lunch on the I guess that's a bay there?
A good question. It doesn't come to mind, but yeah, that's an inlet off the Pacific Ocean there.
Yeah, yeah, and I was watching. If you've never been to Vancouver, I encourage everybody to go, especially when it's not raining. And we actually had a good day for our lunch, and it was fascinating. I'd see these seaplanes. Every 5 minutes, a new seaplane would land in the harbor there. It was really, really interesting stuff. So then James offered to join us at 2008 as a faculty member. People loved his presentations. Then we did a special event for beginners in Chicago this fall. And I finally got the chance, since it was a smaller event, to just sit and listen and really participate in the training rather than me running around. And frankly, it was one of the absolute best series of presentations I've ever heard in our business. James is going to bring one of those presentations to System 2009, and we're going to talk about that on this call. But there's some other things that he talked about that I want to get into because we're going to make the presentation. I think this particular material that you shared, James, is so vital, you know, to everybody in our business that I want to make sure that everybody at System 2009 gets it. James gave a talk on working with vendors and outsourcing and working with Elance. And, you know, we've all heard about that. I've heard about, you know, outsourcing for years. I do a little bit of it. There are some very expensive courses and expensive programs you can take about outsourcing. But I never really felt that anybody who talked about the subject was really covering it, you know, really comprehensively. And one of the things about James's pre-internet background, which is really interesting, is he was a house builder. Now, when you're a house builder, there is no theory of outsourcing.
No.
If you don't get it right, you've got a foundation that's uneven. You've got a plumber that doesn't show up on time. You have an electrician that doesn't wire things correctly, and you just multiply a few of those little mistakes one on top of another, and you've got pretty much a gaping financial catastrophe. So if you're going to be a house builder, one thing that you've got to get together is you've got to know how to identify good vendors, you have to know how to make things crystal clear to them, and you have to know how to manage them. And so when James was giving his talk on outsourcing at our event in Chicago, I was like, oh, my God, this is the most thorough talk on outsourcing for internet marketing I've ever heard, and it makes sense because this is what James did. And he did it with high stakes. You know, he started an internet business from scratch, and, you know, it works, it doesn't work, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, you acquire a piece of land, you dig a hole in the ground, you start laying a foundation, you start borrowing, you know, big money from banks. You better have it together. And so James brings that kind of sharp, disciplined, canny mind to internet marketing. James, I want to talk to you talk a little bit before we get into some of the SEO stuff that we're also going to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Your approach to publishing on the internet. Now, let me talk about the typical approach. The typical approach is somebody gets an idea, they build the site, They generate traffic. They create the content. They do the interviews. They produce the interviews. They write a lot of stuff. Tell me about your approach to building a website, an info website.
It's one of those things it's been a continual evolution. I just was chatting with my wife yesterday, and we're actually just moving into our 10th year as a full-time affiliates. So it's been something to actually get involved with way back to looking to where we are today, and the way we create sites now is quite evolved over where we started, but generally a lot of it's the same, meaning that we publish content. I'm a big proponent of building great sites, great ranking websites, lots of natural search traffic, visitor focused, really digging into understanding who your visitor is, providing great content, everything from articles to podcasting to a little bit of video, and just kind of rounding it out with a real emphasis of focusing in on that visitor.
And your sites are very content rich, and you're adding new content all the time, whether it's text or video or audio. You don't just throw up a page and then abandon it.
No, we work hard to make sure that the sites are always having fresh content being added to them. I know Google loves fresh content. That's their whole purpose in life, is to find as much relevant, fresh, interesting content that they can. And their little spiders are out there 24/7 looking for interesting content that they can index into their search engines. So we just want to make sure we go about doing that. And the way we do that is by usually minimum of three times, but usually a maximum of five, we add a page of content 3 to 5 times a week to every one of our sites.
Well, just for people that are getting started, this might be a new concept. So you're recommending, rather than build this site, go off to a cave somewhere and build a 100-page or 200-page site and launch it all at once, you're recommending build it a few pages at a time.
Yeah, typically what we'll do is we'll construct the core website, which will be your typical pages that you'd find on any site, your home page, your About Us page, your Contact Us page, your press release page, the various pages you'd find on just about any website. That would be the core site. Then there'd be a couple of product pages just to kind of get the site up and running. But that really is kind of just the framework. From that point, what we like to do is get a writer involved, or two writers involved, depending on which site it is. And we get them organized in such a way that they begin to add that content that we were talking about every day. And typically on my sites, I like to do one fresh page of content Monday through Friday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You can pretty much go to most of the sites and you'll see that there's a new page there. And by doing that and consistently adding the content to the website over time, you get this opportunity to let Google know and their spiders know that this is an active site, it's growing. Every time the spider comes back, there's more fresh content there that it can grab up. And you can effectively train these little spiders and almost put them on a schedule, because if they keep coming back to your website and they don't find any new content, the number of times they return to your website starts to get longer. So, they come back today, fresh content, great. They come back tomorrow, fresh content, great. But all of a sudden there's no content there, they will start to delay that. So on the flip side of that, if you are continuously adding content, those little spiders, they will continually come back and grab it up and index it much, much quicker. So there's just so many advantages to getting into a path of adding fresh content.
Gotcha. So this isn't just a theory or something that sounds like a good idea. This is something that the search engines are particularly specifically set up to identify and reward.
Exactly. What happens here, there's some really interesting dynamics that happen when you're adding content. And I know sometimes people get stuck up in the keywords and stuff, and how do I do that? And we can probably talk about that. But generally speaking, if you're adding content to your website and you've got a visitor, sorry, you've got a writer that's focused in on your visitor, and you've got an article stream that they're, you know, hired to create, and they're in there every day, and they're developing these articles. Imagine if you're adding 5 articles a day over the period of a year. You know, you can get up to a fair number of articles very quickly. I mean, in 52 weeks in a year, 52 times 5, you're talking over 250 articles into your website. And if you are focused in on the visitor and you're writing real content and you're really making sure you've got good quality content on your site, amazing things start to happen, because all of a sudden your little website there, it starts to rank for thousands of keyword phrases that sometimes that you didn't even think of, just because you've got this great content going on to the site. And that's probably one of the biggest differences that's occurred over the last few years that a lot of people either are not aware of, or they've just missed it completely.
And for anybody that wants, is seeking the holy grail, you know, of lots and lots of free traffic, this is an approach. If you take this approach, you naturally find the search engines, especially Google, responding really positively to you, indexing your site frequently, giving you maybe some extra weight even. And then, because you're producing so many articles, you're just naturally generating great keyword results for things that you don't even plan. In other words, sometimes you might find, and tell me if this is true, you find yourself ranking well for phrases, valuable phrases, that you didn't even consciously go after.
Exactly. What happens here is a lot of people have heard the term long-tail keywords. And one of the mistakes people make in the natural search business, unlike the paid search business, what happens is, and you'd know this, Ken, you generate yourself a very detailed keyword list, and there usually can run into the thousands, sometimes the tens of thousands of keywords. And in order to buy those keywords in the paid search results, you actually have to pay for every individual keyword, or bid on every individual keyword in the paid results. Natural works a little bit differently, because we don't need to generate these long, complicated keyword lists in natural search if you get into the habit of creating fresh, interesting content. Because what happens is, keywords are automatically within those pages. They have to be. That's what your research is about. You know, we use a little example of a local restaurant down the street here, down on the beach in White Rock, BC. And if you were to write an article about that little restaurant, you would need to do some research on it. And you would realize, we take maybe Charlie Don't Surf as an example. It's a restaurant down on Marine Drive here in White Rock, BC. And if you were to research the restaurant, you'd realize it's on Marine Drive, it's in White Rock, BC, it's across from the train station, it's just down from the pier, it's 10 minutes south of the U.S. border, it's 45 minutes from downtown Vancouver, they serve this, 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 and this, and so on. And you'd end up with this rich body of research that you would either write yourself or give to a writer, and then they would create that content. Now, that content would go on to the Internet, and because you've done the research and it's already naturally rich with those keywords, when somebody goes to Google and they type in restaurant White Rock, you got a good opportunity to rank. Restaurant on Marine Drive, you've got a good opportunity to rank. White Rock near the pier, or sorry, restaurant near the pier, or the types of restaurants. Because you've done the research, also in that little article, because the keywords are naturally within the body of the content, it has the opportunity to rank for probably dozens of different keyword phrases.
Gotcha. Now, some people might be listening to this going, wow, this sounds great. But they're choking on the idea of, oh, my God, 250 articles a year. Seems overwhelming to do while you're running the business, and overwhelmingly expensive. So let's look at, if you don't mind, let's go over some of the practical things that you do to accomplish this. How do you get those articles produced, and how do you get them produced at a rate that makes financial sense? Because 250 articles is a lot. I mean, do you go to India and, you know, hire people to crank out sort of pseudo articles really fast?
No, we don't. We use a service called Elance, And within Elance, you can hire people from India. And although I don't recommend it for writing, they're great at programming in a lot of cases and stuff, but their English is not their first language, although they'll try and fake it sometimes, but you can always pick it up in the writing. But within the Elance system, Elance.com, there is literally tens of thousands of writers available. And these writers are everybody from professionals who've been through university to journalists, reporters, right down to very creative stay-at-home moms or people that, you know, have created a career at home writing. And they're very talented and they're very articulate and they're very creative in their writing. And what we do is we simply, first thing that we do with outsourcing is we don't jump to the knee-jerk reaction of thinking, oh, this is going to be very expensive, so I better not do this. I won't even go look. Well, meanwhile, when you do go over there and look, you realize this is not a very expensive proposition at all. And if you take the time to post a project at Elance, which is really as simple as writing a nice little email to somebody and just posting it in their system explaining what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we get, for example, if the listeners maybe would head over to epilepsymoms.com and click on blogs, you'll see the style of articles that are being written or the lengths of articles, beautifully written. We've got what we call contributors, and all of these girls have been hired from Elance. And there's a lady in there by the name of Barbara, another one, Catherine, Amber, Jessica. These are bloggers, writers that Arlene's hired through, my wife has hired through the Elance system to focus on particular topics within her site. So, for example, she posted a little project at Elance that said, I'm looking for a writer who is intimately and understands autism as it relates to children.
And this is the content of Arlene's site. It's a support site for moms who have children with autism.
Autism
or epilepsy.
And or epilepsy, yes, because it's a very interrelated issue. So she posts this little project in there, and within a couple of days, she'll have a dozen, 15 writers come in there explaining who they are, why, and they're bidding on her project. They're bidding for the work. And they'll explain, some of them will say something like, you know, not only am I a professional writer, my 12-year-old son is autistic. I know all about it. And then they'll give all their credentials. And you can go look at their feedback, much in the same way that eBay has a feedback system, so does the Elance system. So you can see their past work. You can read comments that other people have posted who've hired them previously. So you can really kind of get to know them. And once you've gone through the list, you can shortlist to get that list of 15 down to maybe 2 or 3, and then you maybe send them a little message. Hey, I'm looking at your bid. Thanks so much for bidding on my project. What we're looking for here is somebody who's reliable, who's a good writer, who can add an article every day, Monday through Friday, on topics that we will be providing to you in the area, in this case of Amber. She writes all Arlene's articles on autism. So once
you
get...
Hey, James, do you mind if I just make a comment? There may be some people listening who think, oh, yeah, I know all about Elance. This is nothing new. I encourage you to listen to what James is saying about how he handles Elance, because when you hear the punchline to all this, or the bottom line, as to the quality he's getting and the price he's getting at, you're going to want to really pay attention to how specifically James views and works with Elance. It's not, you know, just go to Elance and, you know, throw up a bunch of stuff. He has a very precise methodology that ends up with, you'll see the numbers and you'll be amazed at what he gets. I know I was.
Yes, it's stunning. And even in today's current economy, there's actually more writers than ever now available to develop content for us. So what we do is once we get these writers organized, and that's the thing, once you hire them, that's one thing. And you simply do that by clicking the award button and funding the account. So if whatever they've bid, you put that money into the Elance system, into escrow, because you don't actually pay the writer until you've got the work back and you're happy with it and you sign off on it. Then you can hit the release button, and then they get paid. So there's no risk here for us as the purchasers. But the trick to this is, we found, is once you've hired the writer, now you need to get them organized, and you need to get them on a steady path of adding this content to your website. And if you're using a content management system such as WordPress or TypePad or Drupal, any one of these, you know, advanced little content management systems that are available to us now, you can give them their own login to your website. You give them their own username, their own password, so that they can log in. They can only add their own content. They can't touch any other content on the website. But they, you give them access to the site so they can add the content. Then what we do is we give them a little, what we call a work order, which is basically just a detailed list of the different articles we want written. A lot of times we'll use press releases for the basis of the content. So Arlene, in her case, or mine, in my kit car site, or any one of the sites, really, the cell phone site, we'll go out and we'll do a Google search because, okay, now we've got the writer. They're ready to go. What are they going to write about? So we like to focus in on creating interesting, newsworthy content that's really relevant to them today. So if you go and do a search for pretty much any topic on the Internet, and you add the word press release at the end of it, you'll find usually hundreds of sites with dozens of press releases on them on just about any topic that you can imagine. Even epilepsy not, because it wouldn't sound like there'd be press releases, but there are. And then you just gather all those up into a big long list. You take those press releases, then you sort through them. And Arlene will go through them, or I'll go through them, depending on what site it is. We'll say, okay, yep, this is a very interesting topic. Let's put this one aside. We're going to get the writer to write about that.
That's interesting. So you don't just, initially at least, you don't just leave it up to the writer and say, hey, I need 10 articles on epilepsy and autism. Let me know when you're done.
No. If you do that, you're not going to get back. It's the old, if you don't give them the direction and tell them what you expect back and give them, you know, what you need to get back from them, you're going to end up getting articles back that will be typically vanilla-flavored. There's no real content there. They don't say anything a lot of times. And the writers actually, they don't like it either because if you can give them some research for them to write about, it makes their life so much easier. And the beautiful thing about press releases, it's already rich with this information. Like the Charlie Don't Surf example I gave. Now, bring this online to a company's putting out a press release about a new product they're releasing or about something that's important to their business. In the press release, of course, they're going to include all the pertinent details, websites, information that you would need to know, any specs, any interesting news. All that stuff is in the press release. And the writer can take that press release and take it apart, and we tell them, we're not looking just for you to rewrite this press release. We're looking for you to pull all the pertinent information out of it, all the points, the keyword phrases, any websites that are being referenced into a big long list, and then write an article from scratch, just the same way a newspaper would write an article when they're using press releases to create their content.
How long are these articles that you post?
We actually don't really give them too much of a guideline on that, but they typically come out around 500, 600, 700, 800 words.
Okay. So you you spend quite a bit of time laying out your outsourcing programs and protocols and how you do it. But I'm getting a good idea here. There's a little bit more to it than we can get into this call, but everybody that comes to System 2009 is going to get James's complete presentation on this, but I want to share a few other important points about this, though, that's takeaways that people can use right away. So one of the things is you go into it assuming that you're not going to have to pay an arm and a leg. I mean, it's sort of an attitudinal thing. And then the second thing is once you find the people, you do a lot of groundwork, just like a guy building a house. You don't tell the plumber, hey, show up and bring some pipes and let me know when you're done, right? That would be a disaster.
That's
right.
Exactly.
You know, and I think the reason a lot of people have trouble with outsourcing, me included sometimes, is we kind of do that. We kind of think, oh, I'll just tell this guy to do it and he'll know what to do and I don't have to do anything else. You and Arlene are willing to make a pretty significant investment up front in clarifying things for your writers and working with them and sort of getting them on task. Now, I'm going to jump ahead to the punchline here because I want to make sure you really appreciate what James has accomplished here. How much, now you're getting quality articles, they are right on target. Your visitors to your website love them. You're proud of them. You know, in other words, it's not a bunch of, you know, really haphazardly quickly written articles that are barely in English. This is really good, good high-level stuff. On a typical site, you're getting 250 articles a year, which is like, you know, enough for a book every year.
Okay.
You're getting great a response from Google search engine. They love you because you're publishing stuff almost daily. And what is this? And here's the bottom line. Okay, it all sounds good, but this must be costing a fortune. What are you paying to get these great articles written?
Well, there's typically, just before you answer that, just there was one other little thing here, and one of the reasons that we get the price we do. Imagine these writers, they're just like us. They need to make an income as well, and they're always looking for new projects within the ELAN system. And one of the things that we've learned, a kind of little secret here, is we hire them under what we call a long-term project. So instead of just hiring them to do a one-off, you know, I need 5 articles this week, what we'll do is we'll say, okay, Amber, what we're looking for here is 3 articles a week for 12 weeks. So that's 36 articles in total. And we want you to post them on, say, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And we'll package this up in the ELAN system. They've got a little milestone system, so it's very easy to track all of this. And because it's a long-term project and they know they now have 3 months' worth of work, 12 weeks' worth of work, they'll give us a better price. So typically, on average, what we pay for these articles is
$10. $10 per article.
$10 per article.
So, and if you think of what people spend on pay-per-click in some people in a month, some people in a week, some people in a day, some people in an hour, we're looking at 250 high-quality articles that are beautiful, natural search engine bait for the very keywords and keyword phrases that James wants to score high for. Total cost, plus some of the preparation work, and I think that's the thing that we've emphasized in this call. It's not magic. There's particular procedures to follow to get this result. But James is getting, for $2,500 per year, this basically amazing content that delights his customers and his visitors. It's viral. We haven't even talked about that. But, you know, good content, when it's targeted to a particular group, is automatically viral, especially on the Internet. You know, if there's a mom who's got a son who's got who's having epileptic seizures, you know, all day long, you better believe that mom is in touch with other moms, and if she finds a good source of information, she will automatically be telling people. So for $2,500, and you don't, and this is paid off once, you know, on a monthly basis. So it's really about, we'll just simplify the math. Let's say for $250 a month, James is getting great search engine bait for his websites, for each website. And again, just think of what someone that's buying traffic from the pay-per-click search engine would be paying for something equivalent. It's pretty powerful stuff. And that's why I was really impressed by your talk. Sometimes people either they radically overpay for the Elance work, or they don't know how to supervise it, and so they don't get a good result. Or they think, I gotta go cheap, and they hire some of these, let's say these farms, you know, in various countries. You know, people are doing their best, you know, they're trying to make a living, nothing to take away from them, but they're not really writing good English.
That's right.
And, you know, you gotta have good stuff. You can't put up stuff that's less than excellent. And then on the other hand, because you're providing a steady stream of income to your vendors, and I've seen some of your internal documents, you know, how you communicate with them, how you welcome them when they join, how clearly you lay everything out for them. They're not only getting a nice stream of income, but they're hooking up with some nice people to work with. So in the old parlance of sales, it's win-win-win. But with the net result, James is getting phenomenal search engine power for around $250 a month, and ending up with a really valuable site that just gets more and more and more attractive over the weeks and months and years. James is going to we're going to be giving away the entire presentation that James gave on this at our Chicago event in the fall to everybody that comes to System 2009. You also gave a really great presentation on using the internet as a PR tool, and it was pretty remarkable what you accomplished with that. Then the other thing that James is going to be, and we'll be giving that presentation away too as part of the bonus. And then what James will be talking about at System 2009 is this natural search strategy that he uses. And to be honest, he's given away just about, you've pretty much given away 99% of it, really. If anybody listens to this, you know, play the call back again and take notes, you've been given the plan that will work. And it boils down to what, James? Good content, focused content, steady publication.
Getting your writer organized.
Getting your writer organized. I mean, it's really all there. But of course, you know, there's always more to say, you know, about all this stuff. So, you know, you and I have talked about lots of different things over the time since we've met, and one of the things we've talked about is the internet business as an opportunity for people to make, you know, either additional income or to replace a salary or to, you know, to add on to household income so you can, you know, add to your savings or, you know, whatever. And everybody knows what it is that they want to accomplish financially. They don't need to go into the details. It's 2009. We're in a different kind of world than we were even 2 years ago. Now you teach a lot of people. You introduce a lot of people to the business, and you follow them very closely. Still a good time to get into internet marketing? Has the boat left the dock, or is it too late? You know, you've been in it for 10 years. You know, are the easy pickings gone? What's your take on this?
It's funny. I just returned a couple weeks ago from a conference in Las Vegas, and I've been hearing, like everybody, all the doom and gloom stories that have been going on, and Vegas is obviously has been a part of that, and I was expecting to see, you know, to be slow there, and we got there, and it was a little slower than normal. They did say tourism's down, and the Consumer Electronics Show was in town, and their attendance was down. But the conference that we were at, the Affiliate Summit, which is an internet marketing conference for affiliates and merchants, their attendance was actually up over last year.
Huh.
And that's been a trend on just about everything that I've been touching as far as in the affiliate and the internet marketing world. And I think, although I don't think anybody's going to get away completely unscathed here, the online world, because of its natural efficiencies, is not going to be battered nearly to the level that the brick-and-mortar businesses are.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing, you know, some decreases in traffic. But on the other hand, on some areas, some sites, we're seeing increases in traffic. So I think for a lot of cases that we're going to see a bit of a balancing act going on here. But as far as is it the right time, I personally think the last 10 years has been basically the exhibition season. Even Google is only finally coming into its own now, where
mm-hmm.
you take a look at, as far as the natural search listings go, where for years they couldn't index naturally written content because they just didn't have the technology. And we couldn't write the way we do today, where we just hire professional writers to just write. So personally, I think I'm more excited about it even than I was 10 years ago when we got started.
It's funny that you mentioned that about Google. I've noticed that every 7 years there seems to be some kind of a major shift in the internet world. Of course, the internet world's not that old, but if you go back 7 years, you're in 2002, and this is when AdWords was just poking its head out from the ground. You know, it was just this little sprout. Most people did not understand it. If if anybody's been around for a while, if you can go back in time and remember, you know, it was all about Overture. And AdWords was like, you know, what's that? That's complicated. Right. What are they doing? This doesn't make sense. And of course, just 7 years, the AdWords concept took Google from an interesting technical curiosity to one of the most successful companies on Earth and one of the most powerful media companies on Earth, and certainly the king of the Internet. I think it's the one company that you can say, you know, pretty much rules the roost. Google, and I, so far it's for the better, I have to say, because as James was mentioning earlier, Google rewards good content. It rewards fresh content in its search engine, and that's a good thing, and that's raising the quality of the Internet. So in just seven, so but the, all that got its start 7 years ago. And if you take 2002 and you go back 7 years, you're in 1994, which was really the place where all this began. Really, really, that was the real seed where the transition was being made from Internet as a technical curiosity to Internet as a place to do business. Now we're 7 years out. You know, it's 1994, then 1994, 2002, 7 years, 2002, 2009. Now we're at another 7 year juncture. What's the change? And I think James kind of put his finger on it. All the things that Google has been trying to do in terms of improving the quality of search results and thereby rewarding quality websites is coming to fruition. And and the other thing that Google's done is make really good Internet marketing management tools available to us all for free.
Yes.
Right? Google Analytics, Google Website Optimizer, and you know, now there's a network of trainers and consultants in place. And you know, I was talking with our, we're going to have a Google guy coming, Trevor Claiborne. He was talking about the office tools, you know, the business, just the general business management suite that Google makes available. It's really getting a lot more. It's getting a lot easier to run an Internet business intelligently because we're getting so much better stats and data, you know, about what's going on in our business and what we need to adjust and things that we can test and things that we can improve. Tools that really, I mean, even as recently as 3-4 years ago, would have cost you several hundred dollars a month to license. Google's now making available free. So I feel that this particular juncture of time, 2009, might be the time for you know, if somebody's a serious-minded person and understands that you know, you make money through intelligent effort, not through luck or through, you know, massive windfalls, but just having a plan and working the plan thoroughly and intelligently. I think for people who've been sitting on the sidelines that have that attitude towards things, this may be the best time to get in because we've got lots and lots of traffic now. Google is rewarding great content and good players. All kinds of great management tools are available, and the quality of the training. I mean, we've always had very good trainers, but I've noticed, we launched the system 7 years ago. We had good trainers, but the trainers that we're going to have now at this event, night and day. I mean, just there's just no comparison. So. Yeah, I would, you know, as for people that are looking for something, an alternative to what's going on in the larger economy, I would say take a look, you know. And, you know, if you come in the system, great. If not, that's great too. Do take advantage of all these calls. I think you got a lot of very solid information from James here that you can use right away. I mean, you don't need, you know, we're not teasing you and holding something over your head and saying, you know, if you don't come to our event, you're doomed. And it's not that at all. We're trying to give you a realistic appraisal of what really works in the business. We've given you, I think, enough to actually make some progress right now. And then if you want more and you want to associate and meet with our faculty and with all the other people who are attracted to this approach to Internet marketing, definitely consider coming to System 2009. It's March 27th through 29th, and it's in Chicago, right near O'Hare, so very easy to get in, easy to get out. We're going to bonus everybody that attends this year with all of James's presentations from a fall presentation he gave in Chicago. They're just so good. Everybody really needs to have those. They're on outsourcing, on using the internet as a PR device and on a natural search. Really good stuff. James, any other sort of closing comments, things that you think people should be aware of if they're entering this field or if they're already in it, things that they should maybe pay more attention to than they are paying now?
Probably just an underscore on the area of outsourcing again. It's mm-hmm. such an amazing – we were running our businesses, writing our own content and hiring local writers right up until 2004 when somebody said to me, I just use Elance. And it was just that casual that he said it. And I says, well, what's Elance? He explained it to me. I went right home, very much in the same way that I heard Lloyd explain at the system seminar last year when he said, do not walk out of this room and I said, sorry, he said, do not let this day go by without writing your autoresponder series. And I actually took him up on that. I already had some autoresponders, but it was a wake-up call to me to make sure that I've tuned them up and I've got some more running. Same thing goes with outsourcing. Don't let a day go by without getting over there and signing up for a free account and maybe posting a project, even a test project, because you don't have to award it, just to see, to try it, to test the waters. And if you, the thing about outsourcing, anything else in the entire business that you don't know how to do, now you know how to do it because you can find somebody who's already a professional that already understands how to write or how to, you know, develop a website for you, whatever you need. If you learn how to outsource, there's nothing you can't do because you've got such a pool of talent there that's just ready, waiting for people to post their projects so that they can bid on it, and you'll be probably stunned and amazed at how cost-effective it can be. So head over to Elance.
Excellent. And you know that highlights one of the benefits of coming to an event like ours. You're going to encounter a lot of real pros, you know, people that have real businesses that have been around for years, and some of the stuff they're going to talk about you may have heard before. I mean, you know, who hasn't heard of outsourcing? Who hasn't heard of autoresponders? But there's something that happens when some guy that's making, lots and lots of money and has a very, very solid enterprise, when that person says it and gives you his take on why he does it and how he does it and some of the fine points, that can make all the difference in the world. So sometimes you're going to hear things at our event that you've heard before, but you've never heard them stated in a way that was useful, you know, or in a way that you could actually take productive action with. Well, great, James. I'm more excited about 2009 than I've been about internet marketing in a long, long time. And I'm particularly glad that you're going to come out and make the trip to join us in Chicago. If anybody listening to this call, if you don't know James's work, to do a search, James Martel. Tell him some of the sites you've got. Well, how about the Epilepsy Moms site, for example?
EpilepsyMoms.com is a website my wife put together, and it's exactly that, EpilepsyMoms.com. Or Kit Car Connection is one of, that I've put together more around my passion, but it's really starting to take off all on its own now, which is about kit cars and replicas, and I'm a big fan of the Shelby Cobra. So we put that site together just over a year ago now, and it's really starting to do well. Other sites.
And then if people want to go straight to one of your sites where they can learn more from you, how would they do that?
They could either head over to jamesmartel.com or probably better yet, maybe to martelnewsletter.com, and there's a little intro video there as well.
Great. And just a reminder, James will be joining us March 27th through 29th in Chicago at System 2009. For information, registration, all that kind of stuff, you can go to www.thesystemseminar.com. James, thanks so much, and we'll see you soon in Chicago.
Great, Ken. Thanks for having me on the call.